Well, good morning. It is, as always, good to be together. And just as I say that, I'm going to send some out. So if you are 3 years of age, up through, you can still fit into one of those little tiny chairs in the children's church room, then you are released, free to go to children's church. Or back to your daddy. Oh. You can give out some more high five. Lots more people, Carter. Everybody needs a good high. Give somebody next to you a high five. There you go. Everybody gets a high five. High five for everybody this morning. For the rest of us, I do want to invite us to turn this morning to James chapter 1. If you're grabbing a Pew Bible, page 854, we'll probably get you close. The words will be on the screen behind me. James chapter 1, verse 42, or 42. James chapter 1, verse 22. What I think is a really important passage in and of itself, but with that, it also is kind of a sequel of sorts to the message from last week, 2 Corinthians 3 and 3, where, okay, good, well done. 2 Corinthians 3 and 3, where Paul, a follower of Jesus, writing to followers of Jesus in Corinth, he says, you show, that can also be translated, you reveal or you manifest. You show, you reveal, you manifest that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Paul says this way of life in Jesus, it is more than just words. This way of life in Jesus, it is more than just words. It is an expression. It is a revelation. It is a manifestation. To use the words of James here in 1:22, and this is where we are going to camp out for a bit today, he writes, James writes, do not merely listen to the word, meaning again, more than just words on a paper, more than just words on a page, and so deceive yourselves. He says, do what it says. We could say, show, reveal, manifest what it says. Right? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do you ever have that experience where you open the Bible and you read? Perhaps it's a teaching from Jesus. Maybe it's one of the letters from Paul or from Peter or from John or from James like we have here today. And you read this passage, and then you kind of think about it, and then you kind of reflect on your life, and it's kind of like, wow, like, where do I even begin? Like where do I even start? Now, in one sense, I hope that is true for you, because I think there's a real tension when we open up the pages of the Bible. There's a tension between what I am reading, what I am hearing, and consequently what God is calling me toward, between that and the reality of my life. The reality, the condition, we could say, of my heart and mind. Right? God, I read in the Bible, you say, love your neighbor. And yet, every time I see my neighbor, it is not love that is my first expression, or my second, or my third, for that matter. Right? And it's in those moments, right, that we recognize sort of this huge kind of chasm between what I hear God calling me toward and what my life, what my heart is showing, is revealing, is manifesting. And if you can relate to that, you're not alone. I'm not alone. In fact, James, he tells us that this was true 2,000 years ago, which is why he goes on to write. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so be deceived. More than words on a page, he says, do what it says. In the words of Martin Luther, the world needs not a definition of religion as much as it needs a demonstration of it. In fact, we can notice here in verse 22 again, do not merely listen to the word, right? So listen, yes, we need to be listening, but just don't let that be all that you do, which offers really no value to anyone. And so deceive yourselves, right? The challenge he writes is do what it says. Noting the word do in our English translations is the result of two Greek words, ginomai and poietes. Ginomai, poietes. Ginomai, as it is here, means to become, or we could say to be or to become. It has this idea of bringing into existence. And with that, it also is in the present imperative. And so it has this ongoing sort of kind of idea to it. And so it might be well to say be and being, become and becoming, bringing into and continue bringing, keep bringing into existence. In a word, we could say a habit. Right? Think of a lifestyle. Think of it of maybe a daily practice, right? Which kind of begs the question, then, well, make what a habit? Make what a lifestyle? Make what a daily practice? Well, poietes. Make that your habit. Make that your lifestyle. Poietes, which refers to someone who does something. Specifically, it's a doer. Right? Be being, be becoming, bringing into existence, right? One who is a doer, a lifestyle of doing. Ginomai poietes. And then James kind of fleshes that out. Verse 23, he says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his or her face in a mirror and after looking goes away and immediately forgets what he or she looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now just a quick word about this whole kind of mirror thing, because I do think there's an important truth kind of here. Keeping in mind, right, that the mirror is simply a reflection. Right? The mirror has no power to change you. The mirror has no power to make me more handsome or beautiful. It has no power to change the style of my hair. Right? I can spend hours staring into a mirror. I might go a little crazy, but it has no power to change me. Right? The mirror simply reflects, right? Simply provides me with, we could say, an opportunity to make a change. Right, if I look into a mirror and I see blemishes, well, now I have some information and I still have blemishes. It does not change me. It does not transform me. And James says transformation doesn't come by way of that reflection. Transformation comes by way of ginomai poietes. You know, my poietes, more than just words on a page, right? Do what it says. And then James kind of dives down, drills down on what that looks like. Verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. To James, we could say a genuine faith is one that is lived out. It's lived out in actions and doings far more than it is making declarations about what one believes. Because In one sense, it's one thing to make ourselves presentable on a Sunday morning, but it begs the question, well, what about the rest of the week? Right? What am I, on the other days, what am I showing? What am I revealing? What am I manifesting? What does it say, for example, if on a Sunday morning I boast about compassion and generosity to only then go home and cheat my neighbor on Monday? What does it say if I gather with someone to pray one moment and then disparage them the next moment? What does that say? Right? Because it's one thing to present on a Sunday morning, but it begs the question, what about the rest of the week? Do not merely listen to, do not merely read the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Right? Do what it says. More than just words on a page, right? This idea of be and being, becoming, bringing into existence a person, one who is a doer, one who is doing something. Something that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless. And he says it is this. Meaning this is the doing that we are actually supposed to be doing, by the way. Is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And by that we can think of the most vulnerable, right? Meaning the most vulnerable in the society, right? The poor, the disenfranchised, those who are pushed to the side, those who are in the margins, those who have no power. And then James adds, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, keeping in mind the world in that day, the world in that society. It was military power, it was political control, it was economic exploitation, it was religious sanction, it was propaganda, it was rhetoric, it was those in power oppressing, persecuting. And James says essentially, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that way of life. Don't be polluted by the way of the world. Don't be polluted into that way of being in relationship with others. And we know this because that is exactly what James goes on to say. In effect, kind of doubling down, he next says, my brothers and sisters, believers, those who fall in the way of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Must not show favoritism. That comes from one Greek word, but it's kind of fleshed out. It's a compound word, meaning to face and to receive. Literally, to receive the face of, or this idea of to lift up the face. It's this idea that it's judging a person by external appearance. Judging a person by outward appearance. In Leviticus 19 and 15, we read there, you shall not lift up the faces of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In other words, you're not to judge the poor based on their poverty any more than you are to esteem the other because they hold some level of power. And then we read this example, 2 and 2. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes who comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you, but you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And then dropping down to verse 12, he kind of brings that back full circle, brings that back around. He says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We read, this is God speaking to Samuel. He says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. Think judgment. Think makes judgments. But the Lord looks at the heart. Think offering mercy. And now the thing is, it's a whole lot easier to make judgments. It's a whole lot easier to make judgments. To judge another means I can keep my distance. Right? To judge another means I really don't need to get involved. To judge another means I don't need to be invested. To judge another means I don't have to give of myself. To judge another means I don't have to make a sacrifice. But that's where James steps in, and he says, rather, this doing something, in a word, it is mercy. But here's the rub, because mercy is hard work. Right? Mercy requires that I get close. Mercy requires that I get involved. Mercy requires that I have care and compassion. Mercy requires that maybe it will get a little bit messy. Mercy requires that I make a sacrifice. Mercy requires a willingness to be vulnerable. Mercy means we reach down, taking the hand and the heart of another, and we lift her up. We lift him up. Mercy is hard work. So what about you and me? I really just have two questions today. The first question is simply, are we doing? Think ginomai poietes. Are we doing? Right? Being and becoming, bringing into existence, right? The kind of people, right? The kind of people that do, that make doing a habit, that live a lifestyle, that enter into the daily practice, ginomai poietes. Are we doing? Right, not just hearers of the word, but are we doing? Right, more than just words on a page. We could ask this: what does the mirror reveal? Because, no, the mirror cannot change us. But the mirror can enlighten us. What does the mirror reveal to you? And then to follow that up, not just are we doing, but what are we doing? What are we doing? And with that, we could ask, is our doing offering care to the vulnerable? Is our doing showing compassion to the one in the margins? And then to kind of bring it to a close, are we doing judgment or mercy? And I would again argue, judgment is easy. Mercy is hard work. Are we taking the easy way, or are we doing the hard work? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do. Ginomai poietes. What it says. Let's pray. God, as always, we thank you for your word and your words. And as we now sit for a time in the stillness, as we reflect, as we perhaps even look in the mirror, as we consider our doing, would you continue now to move in our midst? As always, would you move us, shake us, mold us, shape us? That we would not only be hearers of your word, but that we would be doers of mercy.